Glad you all are here tonight. It was a good visit back home. Mom, if you're watching, what a blessing it was to be home and got to hug my mom and Mama Connie, and that was a real blessing in itself. So praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 2, here's a blessing. Ray and Rachel was able to get away and see the parents and just get some time with just them two. Their anniversary was this weekend. Praise the Lord for 23 years. Hallelujah. What a blessing that anybody would live with Brother Ray for 23 years and not want to pull their hair out. Anyhow, she pulls yours. Yeah. I also, I told Brother Ray, I said, I've asked the Lord to forgive me, but I was a Michigan fan for a few hours as they won the national championship, which University of Illinois gave up a good fight. You know, they had a good fight this year, but they didn't quite make it, but that was good for the University of Illinois. And I know mom and dad. My dad was such a big Illini fan that one time he owned an orange truck. It was University of Illinois orange, and he had a Chief Illini wick on the side of the door there. And mom and dad. And I don't understand it personally, because we all know that Indiana is the best basketball team in the Midwest. They just haven't shown it in the last few years. Yeah, they won the national championship in football, but yeah, I'm glad Michigan Wolverines pulled it off. They looked good, didn't they? So now if my Cubbies can get going and my Tigers get going, then I'll be really happy. Galatians chapter 2, glad you're with us tonight if you're watching, or wherever you're watching, or what time you're watching this. I pray to be a help to you as we walk through the book of Galatians. And as we've noticed in Acts chapters 13 and 14, is Paul's first missionary journey, which goes into Galatia. And if you remember right, they beat him. They threw him out. And they thought he was dead. And they looked at him as dead. And, Lord Jesus brought him back. He wasn't done with him. Can you imagine all the bruises and the bumps that he had from that missionary journey? And he didn't quit. He didn't quit. There's been so many, I've seen so many young men in the pastorate, they have troubles and they quit on God. Well, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus didn't quit on us. You know, they had to take the cross away from him and have somebody else carry it. He was still willing to carry that cross after being beaten and messed up. And while I'm thinking about it, we do have the New Baptist Breads up here if you'd like to get it for May and June. They are down here on the table. But Brother Paul went through it, didn't he? He struggled through it. Tonight, I want to look at the thought that what Paul did was not in vain. Nor he did it. Did he do anything as a man pleaser? So the work of Brother Paul is not in vain. It's not empty. It's not worthless. Nor was Paul a man pleaser. And we're going to find out something, that the true men and women of God don't please man first. They please God. Now, you know, as a pastor, pastoring is, listen, a soft tyranny at times. When I know as a pastor that God wants us to go this direction, we're going to go that direction no matter whether you like it or not. If God's in it and you're against it, well, my thing is get on your knees and ask God to change my mind and my heart, or get with the program. Well, being a parent is a soft tyranny. The difference between a soft tyranny and a hard tyranny is what we're fighting against in Iran. Iran is a hard tyranny. Do you realize that the Ayatollah and many over the last 40-some years, almost 50 years, they killed their people. They killed their people. And a lot of the American Iranians are happy. Now, are they happy? I mean, is there some sadness? Well, sure, there's some sadness. And what's a real shame is here in America, we're even seeing the Brotherhood Islamic movement. And that's what we're seeing in Dearborn Heights, especially. Listen, if you don't like it, Sharia law needs to be outlawed in the United States of America. But they won't do it because Americans are too soft. Sharia law is against the Constitution. It's against this Bible. It's against the American dream. It is against it. And what's a real shame is, the politicians fall right in line because all they want is the vote to stay in power and to be able to continue to pad their pockets. We're finding out that basically over the last few years, and how many years it was, we're not really for sure. Probably been going on as long as I've been alive. But the gimmick of the Democratic Party has always to funnel money in to these people, and the Republicans are falling right in line. You add to anybody's checkbook, and they're gonna yes vote on everything that you put money toward. I'm just telling you, it's the Republican and the Democrat both. They only make so much money a year, but so many of them are worth millions with the insider trading of Nancy Pelosi and many of these others. Those are man pleasers. There's a lot of preachers today that are man pleasers. Brother Ralph had told Jamie and I, and it happened more than once, but one time in particular, a church had come to him and said, listen, once you come pastor us, and we'll buy you a new, brand new Cadillac in any home that you and Sister Margaret want. That's a man pleaser. You know what I got? Brother Ray said, hey, I'm going to make you a Wolverine fan if you come up here. You think that's really, that's not. Anyway. Yeah, that was very enticing. Yeah. But as we look here in the scriptures, keep these thoughts in mind. Not in vain, nor a man pleaser. Look at verse 11 of chapter 2 with me. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to blame. It's amazing what all was going on in this. Verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, adding nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. The fight here is Brother Paul going to the Gentile and the rest of the disciples going to the Jews. Have no problem with that. The gospel needs to go to every creature, correct? Every soul. We talked about that Sunday morning, and who did he arise for? Now, yes, I could have said, who did he die for? But what's even greater than that is the fact that he arose again. And he is the only Savior, the only way, the only truth, and the only light. And Paul's having to deal with this. Paul's having to deal with them thinking this. So in verse 11, he has to stand Paul to his face. Verse 12, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. The law is starting to come back into play. Paul was preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus. We see that. And in verses 5 through 10, we noted that last week. But here, this week, understand that what Paul did was not in vain. The gospel that he preached, verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And we didn't want any other gospel coming to you. But as you saw in chapter 1, the Galatians had gone away from that, and it was much to do with some of the Jewish teachers. Maybe they were saved, but they were trying to bring the Gentiles under the law. Listen, beloved, the law is a schoolmaster, we're going to find in chapter 3. That's all it is. It is to teach us the principles and standards of holiness. It is to, for example, a man marries a woman, and there are only two genders, male and female. The Democrats made the rest of them, okay? God made male and female. Paul mentions in verse 21 now with this idea, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There's no use in the Lord Jesus dying and arising again if the law can make you saved. There's no use in the Lord Jesus dying and arising again if the water washes your sin away. There's no use in the Lord Jesus dying and arising again if you want to add a bunch of different works to salvation. You know, within the charismatic movement, especially the Pentecostal, they say that if you don't speak in tongues and you don't have the Holy Spirit and you've not truly been saved, that's garbage. Yep. They have a four-step plan for salvation. There's no such thing in the Scriptures. Not according to David, not according to a Bible college, not according to another preacher, not according to brother and sister. Listen, the gospel is by grace through faith, the Lord Jesus in His rising again. So Paul is preaching the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Verse number 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, what compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews do? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles." Now here's an interesting thought. The Jew thought the Gentile was the only sinner. That's why Habakkuk, in the book of Habakkuk, he says to God, God says, look, I'm going to have Babylon come down here, and they are going to be my vessel to judge and to scourge Israel. What? How dare you, Habakkuk mentions. What do you mean using an ungodly nation on your people? Well, the Jew and the Gentile are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, the book of Ezekiel tells us. With that in mind, Paul is having to really deal with, do we need law to be saved? Now, I am not going to throw out the law. It is part of the canon of Scripture. It's part the Mosaic law is what we need to understand how to live in this corrupt and sinful world, and how we are to live as sinners saved by grace. Now, there are some men that would take me to task on that, and they would say, wait a minute, we're saints. We've been sanctified. That's very true, but your flesh is still pretty strong in your life. Are you tired tonight? I know I am. And I'm glad Jamie and I come back yesterday so we could actually sleep and rest. And that bed I slept on was good, and I praise the Lord for it. But it was hard on my back. It was tough. And I wasn't in my chair. And I can tell tonight at the base of my back right now, it's a little sore. Not bad, but you know, it's a healing sore. I can feel that. And I'm thankful for that. But it's good to get that rest and come home and so that I can think straight for you. I know you're tired tonight. I know you are. But the world and the flesh and the devil has messed with our lives so much. Brother Ray's got a bad headache tonight. He spent a little bit of time with just he and his wife. I think maybe that could have been it. You never know. I'm just kidding, Rachel. I'm kidding. Anyhow, Rachel finally got it. Don't throw nothing at me. Oh, she gave me those wife laser eyes are on me right now. You know that look? But his headache, Brother Josh, is struggling with his past tonight. And at times I'm struggling with my past tonight. And we all do. You don't live a few days on this earth without having a few skeletons in the closet and having the scathing marks of sin on you. None of us get out of this world unscathed. We don't. And what I mean by being unscathed is you're going to have the scars of sin. Brother Ray has some headaches and still haven't figured out what it's from. And I joke and a kid about it. But there's a lot of people not only with headaches, but we were told about a girl today that's having some very, very bad bowel issues. And I'm talking about painful, where everything she eats is painful. Could you imagine having a life like that? Having a life where my mom, for example, her legs are constantly in pain all the time. And they have been for many years. My mom's always telling me, I pray and I ask the Lord, take me home. And you get like that in this old world. This old world's tough on you. We're tired tonight. We're tired tonight. And everything wants to fight against us. That's why we have empty pews in our service tonight. Because everybody has allowed things to get in the way of being in the house of God. You know, I've told you before, nobody has an excuse unless they're dead. Or laying in a hospital like I did for just a couple days. You don't have an excuse to not be in the house of God. It's not a good enough one. There's just not. But to get people to see that has been probably the one hill that I fight all the time. So Paul, who probably should have quit, didn't. And I'm glad that he didn't because of Paul's work, because of the disciples' work, don't get me wrong, but because of Paul's work, we have the gospel. See, the gospel went from Jerusalem and it went north, went into Turkey today, which is Galatia. You got Galatia, then on over into Rome, into Italy. It's in throughout the Greek world, the Roman world. It's coming north again into France and into Germany. It comes into England. And that's where God put his Bible together in England. And for so many years, England was blessed by that. They had the largest empire at one time. But because they have left, now they're in turmoil, and America is right behind it. And that's what happens, especially as you bring in religions that hate Jesus Christ and hate the United States as they are. And understand this. This is something Brother Mike Carson and I were talking about, and I'd never seen it before, and I was so thankful we were talking about this. The Iranians, the Persians, have been around for thousands of years. Their end game, oh, we'll just do this and do this, and maybe in 1,000 years it'll change like this. The American says, no, I want it in 10 minutes. Their end game is to outlast you. That's the devil's end game. A lot of people, as they get older, they forsake the church. They forsake Bible reading. Well, I don't read like I used to. My eyes aren't that good. Listen, there's plenty of resources out there, and there's plenty of large print Bibles and gigantic print Bibles, and everybody wants to use their health issue as a reason for not going into Word. Well, that can't be, and Paul proves that. Paul's preaching was preaching the truth of the gospel. Now, in that, look if you would please with me at verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the flesh, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We're going to look at verses 16 through 20 next week. But that was Paul's basis. It's salvation by grace through faith. If he wasn't, Paul would have been preaching in vain. Vanity and vexation of spirit in Ecclesiastes. What is that? Vanity is emptiness, much like a Twinkie. Caden mentioned something about Twinkies in my office. They're just empty. And I said, no, little Debbie cakes have got substance to them. Of course, Kenny had to correct the both of us. Because, you know, that's Kenny for you, just trying to correct everybody. No, I'm just kidding. It's vanity. What is vanity? A lot of the decisions that we make and a lot of the things that we do and we say are vain. A lot of times we say things in conversation when we should have just shut our mouths and been a fly on the wall. But there are some people bent out, and I used to be this way, getting bent on everybody's got to hear what I've got to say. What you got to say 9 times out of 10 is empty. The only time it's got something to it is when it's Bible, when it's praising God for this or for that. We went to Real King, and I was telling a little bit of the story in the office. I got to see my cousin. I hadn't seen David since, oh my word, probably 1986 or 87. And it was good to see him. He's as round as he is tall now. Of course, he wasn't very tall, 5'3", 5'4"-ish. And he had been on 2 aircraft carriers in the 24 years he was in the Navy. Man, it was great, and to see others that we knew and stuff, and I mean, it was family reunion at Real King. What better place to have a family reunion? And Real King, I was explaining to them that Real King is the greatest farm and fleet store, livestock store. Jamie, there's only 2 people in the office that understood this statement. They have chicks at Real King. Of course, Brother Ray and Brother Josh, with their superior knowledge and their extreme wisdom, they understood I wasn't talking about girls. But Kenny, Kyle, Caden, and Kevin all thought I was talking about girls. Oh, shut up. Anyway, see, that's the one that has to always talk. That's the one, that vanity, that empty speech. That's the one right there. But it was good when I said that. I said, baby chick. Oh, Kyle says, oh, yeah, I know what those are. Caden, he's, They talk livestock. You can buy feed for your cattle. You can buy a grass seed, and you can get any other type of seed you want. And if they don't have it, we know seed companies around the area that can get you your corn seed, your soybean seed, your wheat seed, and whatever other seeds you want to do. And I was reminded of something, and it was beautiful. Never plant anything before Mother's Day. You just don't. Now, here in Michigan, you got to wait till about Memorial Day or close to it because, you know, you got all that permafrost to work through. Even here in Lansing, y'all know what permafrost is, frozen ground. But it was a blessing to see rose plants and all these different things. It was a blessing. That's not in vain, especially when Jesus Christ comes out. The Lord Jesus has been good. Jamie, that's the first time you ever met David. And I said, David, that's my wife, Jamie. God gave her to me about 40 years ago. And that's when he said to me, he says, well, I need you to pray, Lord, give me a good girl. And then he was talking to me about church house. I said, there's one just up the road. And he's talking about Horace Baptist Church. Those things are not vain. But how much do we say that is vanity? That's why the scripture is very clear about every idle word being under the scrutiny of the Lord Jesus. It's every idle word will be judged. We got to be careful with that it's not empty. Paul's preaching was not empty. But Peter, he had to stand him to his face because Peter was preaching some vanity. Especially when the Jews came in, while he's eating with and talking to the Gentiles, he gets up and walks off. Even that in that dissimulation or that division or that garbage, even Barnabas gets caught up in that. Now, Paul was not preaching the gospel to please men. Look at verse 6. But of these, who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. God accepteth no man's person. Now, that's not the only place that the scripture teaches us that. But the fact of the matter is, God doesn't care who you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need to be saved by the Lord Jesus. Paul was not preaching the gospel to please men. He was preaching the gospel for the difference that the Lord Jesus had made in his life, and he wanted everyone else to have that difference. This is why I've made mention to you. Do people want what you've got? At first, they may not. And I'm going to tell you right now, for a long period of time, they won't. But when they get in trouble and have problems, who do they call on to pray? They know who to call on. That same family member that gripes and complains about, y'all got a church too much. What? Y'all can't get out of church early? Y'all can't do this and that? I'm going to tell you right now, being in the church house is probably the greatest place you can be other than at your house praying and studying. Doing those things that God's called you to do. So with that, Paul's not preaching the gospel to please men. Paul's not going to preach a gospel that makes everybody happy. Paul's not going to preach a gospel that's according to the government. Paul's not going to preach a gospel according to the Jewish Judaizers, these Zionists, you could call them, these Jews that were still adhering to the law. Again, we're not throwing out the law, but we're not making the law as part of salvation. And that's what a lot of men do. By the way, Brother Mike's book on good grass, He mentions that. This is something I was taught by Pastor Charlie and some of the other ones. Mike and I talked about it. They want to give you a listing of all these things you've got to do and not do as a believer. You know, we weren't able to go to the roller skating rink. When we would go with the New Life Teens out of Danville, Illinois, there was a bunch of youth groups that would go together. And we would go, I felt like I was nasty. Matter of fact, our first real date, Jamie, we ought to count that as our first date. She sat beside me in my car. We took a bunch of kids to the roller skating rink. John Russell was on the other side. She's nestled up against this massively muscular, extremely handsome man with these bionic biceps. Me? Anyway, you know, I thought it was odd. But to a lot of people, it wasn't. We were taught these things. And don't go to the movies. But what was crazy is you sit at the house and watch the movies. That's double standards. That's hypocrisy. Now, I'm not condoning it. There's some movies nobody ought to even watch. I'm going to tell you what, any of these horror flicks, you're silly for watching that stuff. The boogeyman under your bed is going to mess with you the rest of the night. The devil will make sure of that. So Paul was also dealing with those teaching a false gospel. He's no respecter of people. He's trying to tell them, well, you know what, Titus and Timothy, y'all need to be circumcised if you're truly going to be saved. You want to be a part of us? You need to be circumcised. That was the Abrahamic covenant. But that's not the New Testament in the Lord Jesus' blood. That was something that God gave him. Of course, we understand the health reasons behind it. But Paul was, he wasn't a man pleaser, and now he's dealing with those that were teaching a false gospel. They were adding to the gospel, or they were taking away from the gospel. That's why we have the word frustrated, the gospel. Paul even mentioned God accepted no man's person. The Gentile is the same as a sinner in a Jew's mind. The Jew believes that he's not a Gentile. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, we find out there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference. We're all flesh and we're all sinners. With that, the gospel was being frustrated. It was being cast off. It was being despised. It was being negated. It was being balked at. It was scoffed and mocked. And the way they were teaching it would cause people to hinder. It would cause the work of the gospel to be hindered, to be pushed back, to be held back. Well, you know, the gospel is only for those who are youpers. That ain't what the Bible said. Well, the gospel is only from those that grew up on a farm. That ain't what the gospel said. The gospel didn't say it was a certain last name. Only the Smith family could be saved. That's not what the gospel was. And that hindered it. That frustrated it. And that's what this circumcision was doing. It was frustrating it. It was making the gospel vain by adding to it thoughts and intentions of men. You can't do that. You can't do that. In all the years of pastoring now, we'll be finishing up 29 years of pastoring in September. No, excuse me, July. And we've been here for 19 in July. But 29 years, I've never seen the Bible tell me to give my people a list on top of what they read in the Bible. You've already got enough to try to live by. How foolish is it to give somebody a bunch of list of do's and don'ts? The Pensacola Christian, you couldn't go to the movies. Now they go to the movies. At Pensacola Christian, you weren't supposed to buy DVDs. But how many people I knew that would put on airs and be something that they're not, to be that fake and that fraud? I'm super spiritual. I don't go to movies. No, but you own the movie at your house. I'm not condoning it, and I'm not condemning it. There are some good movies out there. I still like watching War Room and Courageous, the movies that the Hendrick brothers are making there in Georgia. Those are some good movies. There's some other good movies. Whether you like it or not, then Mission Impossible's are pretty good. Top Gun wasn't bad. 50 First Dates was pretty good. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is terrible. I love going back and watching the old movies again. I mean, who doesn't watch It's a Wonderful Life or the original Christmas Carol with George C. Scott? Man, there's not a better Ebenezer Scrooge. How about going back to the Annie and Yul Brynner playing the rich man there? I forget his name now. Forgive me. Boy, there's been some great... Everybody talks about watching the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Right? Hey, beloved, there's a bunch of junk within the church. And I'm afraid that it's been influenced by Catholicism, by the flesh and the world more than it has been by anything else. How much of it has been influenced by the truth of the gospel? So with that in mind, let me say these few things here. Paul was teaching that keeping the law was folly for salvation and the eternal security of the believer. Foolishness. Folly. It was adding fable to the gospel. Well, beloved, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this Bible of His death, burial, and resurrection ought not be added to nor taken away. The law, once again, please hear me, gives us the standard for living, but not for salvation. Just because you don't go to the movies, you don't go to the roller skating rink, or you don't go here, or you don't do this, or you don't do that, or the women in my family don't wear blue jeans, and bless God, the men, they don't have facial hair. Well, where I come from, men don't have facial hair. Something wrong with him. But over time, I have learned that a man ought to be able to make that decision for himself. It's not based on whether you can be used of God. It's not there's no basis for that on salvation, and there's no basis on that for eternal security. You know what? I seen her in blue jeans. I bet she ain't even saved. Some of the greatest women that I've ever been around worked the farm in blue jeans. You going to tell me that their prayer life's not needed? Well, I've known a few of them that I was hoping and praying that my name was on their list somewhere. The law gives us these standards. The principles of the law are needed, not for salvation, but for living. The standard is still, listen, and I'm done with this. The standard is still, are you listening? The holiness of God. You and I cannot get there. It's impossible. We have all come short of the glory of God. And only the Lord Jesus can give us any holiness. And that holiness is in Scriptures, that white robe of righteousness. To know that I am unrighteous in and of myself, but because of Jesus Christ, I am righteous. Beloved, don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't. So Brother Paul, preaching here in these verses, is to let us know that that gospel is not in vain, nor to be a man pleaser. You just can't. Because if you do, then you do frustrate the gospel. You do create vanity. And the gospel that is taught is that of folly. And it doesn't have the power that it's supposed to have. Father, thank you for the word. I pray to be a help to us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that salvation is by grace through faith. And it's not of any work of the law. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I tried to hurry tonight, y'all, but there's so much that can be said.